there is a lot of potential in getting organized yourself first, like freeing up time, freeing up money, and everything before you delegate, because you could try to delegate it out. But besides that, you have to, there is a, and you know that better probably, how long on average the time is until everything flows and is goes smoothly with a virtual assistant. But it can actually add a lot of work on top of what you already did.
Hey, 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 you are listening to the Master Delegator Podcast. My name is Christy Yoder, founder and CEO of Smart VAs and your podcast host. Can I tell you a secret? I am obsessed with teamwork and delegation. I consider myself a lazy entrepreneur, not because I don't like working, but because I always find ways to do things in the most effective and easiest way. I was born and raised in Manila, Philippines, moved to the States, and grew my agency from one person to now more than 70 plus team members as of this recording. I was able to grow my business 10 times more after I hired my first virtual assistant within 3 months. And together with my team, we have helped more than 200 stressed and overwhelmed business owners scale their businesses by delegating to virtual assistants. I was able to grow my agency from zero to a six-figure business, all because of delegation. And that's why my goal in this podcast is to help you grow your business by giving you fresh perspectives on delegation, outsourcing, and up-to-date proven business strategies, and teaching you how to scale your business while living a freedom-filled lifestyle. So, are you ready to become a master delegator? Let's dive right in. Welcome to another episode of the Master Delegator Podcast. In today's episode, I have a special guest. I was actually a guest on her podcast last month, and I super enjoyed our conversation. So today I will be joined by Connie Graf. She is a Swiss certified expert in finance and accounting, a certified clutter clearing practitioner, and an astrologer. She's helping business owners create supportive, clutter-free environments in their mind, surroundings, and finances. But more importantly, she helps them develop intentional habits, systems, and processes that work for them and prevent clutter from creeping back. Her clients are freed from clutter and chaos to focus on serving their clients and making the money and the impact they want, while being organized and in charge of their finances is simply a welcome side effect. In that sense, clearing our clutter is self-love. And of course, today we are going to be talking about how to declutter and organize your business. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show, Connie.
Well, thanks for having me, Christy. I'm all excited.
Me too, me too. So you are like the Marie Kondo of entrepreneurs, right? Because Marie Kondo, like, she teaches entrepreneurs how to like organize their things at home, right? And or maybe you are doing that as well, you know, because part of our life as entrepreneurs is making sure that our environment is organized as well, right? So like, yes, the way how you fold your clothes, making up your bed when you wake up in the morning. So is what you do kind of similar to Marie Kondo?
It is similar, but I always joke and I say without the rules. You know how Marie Kondo, she has, but depending on how much you know about her, but so she has kind of rules what to do first and how much to have from each. So I'm a little bit rebellious, so I don't have any
I love
rules,
that. I love that. I don't follow rules.
Yeah, no rules. No,
yes,
rules. But but similar. So yeah, and with more Western approach, like,
okay,
because Marie Kondo, she is from Asia, no? So mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like we're here in North America or in Europe, we have a little bit different environments also, and different worldviews and stuff. So yeah, but it's similar.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, I don't like following rules as well. And if I do, I always twist it. Like, I make it my own, you know, I create my own rules. It's like, okay, there's rule one, and I have my rule one version version one of Christy.
Yes.
So that's how I do it sometimes. But I'm not that much familiar about Marie Kondo. All I know is that, you know, she teaches people to like let go of some of the stuff that they don't need by asking themselves, is this something that brings joy to my life? That's all I know about Marie Kondo. Other than that, I don't know. But you help entrepreneurs, you know, declutter and organize their businesses. And you do that by teaching them intentional habits. Right.
Yeah.
So on a daily basis, how can, you know, us entrepreneurs develop intentional habits, and what are those intentional habits that are important for us to have?
Yeah, so I often say what happens if you're not intentional is that and you have a chaos, like that's what most people come to me when it's chaotic. We all have habits. No, we're creatures of habit, but the habits don't support you. They're kind of sabotaging you. And so then that's how the chaos starts. No. So it's very individual how I help my clients, because like I said, I don't have rules. I don't tell you, oh, you have to do this, this, and this. What we're actually looking at is what are the habits that you have right now that are actually sabotaging you and creating the chaos that you afterwards have. Or sometimes people are just also not intentional with what they're doing, and that's how the chaos starts. So this is where I'm saying is like, I don't have rules. What we're doing is we're checking out where you yourself trip yourself up to create a sabotaging environment, either in your physical environment, which is the office, but it can just be a lot of us work from home now. So it is the home sometimes too, you know,
mm-hmm.
or in your computer, or in your files, like if you still have physical paper files, or if you have files on your computer. And on top, then also in finances. And when we're not organized in these areas, it's just sometimes we're a little scattered, or we're not so much in our confidence to then show up for our clients. No,
right.
So this is where it gets important. And it's also not as heavy or hectic if you're more organized. And you don't lose as much time. No, it's like I could go on and on what benefits it has. But for a lot of people that have chaos, they're just not even realizing what they're doing. So this is where you actually have to first check out what habits do I have in place, and do they actually support the mission I have in my business, or the what I want to help my clients with, or not? Is it more sabotaging?
Yeah, I love that. And so when somebody comes to you, what is their most common problem?
The most common problem is either they're having a mess in their filing system, in their computer, or they have a mess in their emails. They don't find things. They have no proper like filing system. And sometimes people don't like the word system so much.
Yeah.
But it's like it sounds very professional, fancy word, but we all have systems. You have even a system how you get up in the morning, like
mm-hmm.
what you do first, like what is the first, the second, and the third thing. It's basically a system or a process. You just don't call it that way, but we all have it, no? So and if you don't have an intentional one, with a lot of things like in the morning, how you get up and how you get dressed, may not be so important to have a nice flowing system. But in business, when you don't have a nice system how you save your files, or how you organize your desk, then it can have a really big impact on how you show up in your business, how you show up for your clients, how much you can actually enjoy working in your business too. Because if you have no systems, like a lot of clients that come to me, they search for files. I know I saved it somewhere, or I can't find anything in my emails, which uses so much energy. And then I don't know how about you, but if, for example, if we're a little scattered, we don't show up our best, no? So, and if we're having to search during the day a lot, or if we're looking at an overflowing email inbox and go crazy looking at it, then we're just using so much energy that we actually could use for showing up for our client, or quitting work earlier and doing something for ourselves. So it's, so they come a lot with that, or just with the desk too. Is like, even though everybody always says like we're moving into the paperless office, I still haven't seen a paperless office. Even some clients of mine who literally try to do everything digital, there is still papers hanging around. And just also like the whole environment, how it is set up, a lot of people don't really put thought into it. Like, how, I don't know about you, Christy, I don't want to put you on the spot, but oftentimes it's not inherent. We don't just automatically know how we function on a desk and what is the best way for us to set up the desk. We just, I don't know, either you have worked in an office before and you did it however they kind of imposed it on you, or you're just trying. But if you go actually really intentional about it, you can create a lot of more momentum, you can free up a lot of time and energy, and then serve your clients better.
So I love that. I love that. And so what do you think are the maybe 3 to 5 things that we should organize in our business? The most important things that we need to make sure that we are organized in our business. And if we do not organize them, then we're not going to be able to succeed.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say you're not able to succeed. You're just creating, like, you're making your life and your business life a little bit harder. Oftentimes, we're just struggling and we're still succeeding somehow, no? But you just make your life really harder. Well, one of the for sure most important ones is finance, even though most people don't want to hear that. And I, as you read in my intro, I come from finance, and this is also where I then noticed it's connected to other processes that then maybe don't work. And that's also why finance becomes such a big deal. So the areas that I feel like is really important that we are organized, and that you not necessarily can outsource right off the bat, even though I know you're a master delegator podcast and we're delegating, and the goal is to delegate it, but unless you understand what's going on, you can't really delegate it. No. So finance is for sure one. And there is a lot of like filing is kind of involved in it, because if you don't find your receipts, you can't claim them, you know?
Right.
So there is a certain filing is important. We can go really deep in that, because the more you become an online entrepreneur, we always think like, oh, all the filing goes away, but it becomes even more important because you have it maybe on the cloud, and you have it on a computer, and you have it on an external hard drive, and there is no system. I say the word again, there is no system where it gets saved. And then when you need to find it, you can't find it, and you're maybe in a hurry. And so for sure, the filing system, that you have just a clear system, and it doesn't have to be like perfect. And that's where a lot of people trip up. They always think like, oh, it has to absolutely be perfect. And until I can do it perfect, I'm not doing it. You'd rather have a system than you have no system, you know, because, and what system you're having is also depends again, how your brain functions. So this is why I don't like rules too much. That's why I'm not telling my clients, you have to do it this way, this way. I have some principles and I have some guidelines, but then it's actually up to you. What is the easiest for you to do it? So that the thing is that the file is easily found again, or that you have your finances under control without having to spend, you know, what most entrepreneurs do, they don't want to see it. And then it piles up. It's like this big wave that you push in front of you. And then it becomes such overwhelm, which takes over your whole day, you know, because it becomes so overwhelming. So I would for sure say, I don't know whether there's 5, because we don't want to like we need some spontaneity in our life and in our business too. But I would say finance is filing. And most likely, and with filing, I would also say the emails have to have a certain organization in it so that we find things, because more and more stuff works around email. But I count that actually with just filing system because it's kind of one category. And then the third one I would say is for sure that you have your time under control, which sounds also oftentimes that it has nothing to do with clutter. But if you clutter up your time with, again, tasks that you actually wouldn't have to do if you were a little bit more organized in other areas, then it would free up your calendar and you would have less clutter there. So I think these are the three that bring you a lot of freedom and more lightness in your business life.
Yeah, the finance alone is a lot, you know, is a lot already, you know, because this is very, very important. Because if you don't organize your finances, if you don't know what you're buying, if you don't know how much money you have in the account, if you don't know how much money you can spend, then you wouldn't really know how to use your money, or maybe you don't even have money to use, you know. And I feel like some people, they don't organize their finances. They spend and spend and spend on things that they don't really need, and they end up getting a lot of debt, you know, because because they don't know how to spend their money. They don't know what to do with their money. And finance, organizing your finances, I feel like this is not just for people who have little money in their bank account. This is even more important for people who have a lot of money in their bank account, because, you know, it doesn't mean you have a lot of money, it doesn't mean you're going to spend it, right? So there are a lot of things that you can do with your money. You can grow it by investing back to your business, or investing it to different stocks or whatever. But yeah, I think finances, I love that you mentioned that as the first one that is, you know, really important, because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, if you're not organized with your finances, your house is going to go down.
Well, and it just a lot of people, that's one big part that they want to delegate. No, and there's nothing wrong. Like, I'm an accountant, so there's nothing wrong to hire a bookkeeper or hire an accountant. Yeah. But the person, you're the business owner, so the person, you are the person who needs to make the decisions. And for example, the bookkeeper and the accountant, they will mostly look backwards, what has happened already. But you, as the business owner, have to look forward. And so especially like when we want to talk about hiring a VA or scaling your business, you need to be able to look forward. And so whatever the accountant or the bookkeeper can do for you is just giving you the basis from where you need to go and look. And so what happens often with business owners, and that happens at any level, is that they're just looking at their bank account. Oh, I have the money, so I can spend it. Forgetting that they maybe have already obligations that they need to factor in. And especially if you have employees, you need to factor in a lot of things. So
yeah,
there is simple systems that you can put in place that you actually are the driver or the pilot. We talked before about flying, so we can say the pilot, or we can take the driver, so that you are in charge. Besides what is happening with getting your books ready to do the taxes, you know, that's a different story. And that's, I think, where a lot of people mix that topic up. So being organized in your finances is very important. You can't outsource that to your bookkeeper, and you can't outsource it, or at least not everything. You can, the past you can outsource, but not planning. And so,
Because at the end of the day, that's still your money. You know, you have a decision to make whether you're going to keep it or you're going to spend it. And your bookkeeper, your CPA can't tell you what to decide on because it's your money. But what they're just going to do is to give you insights on how your money is doing. Like, okay, last month, this is the income you had, and then this is your expenses. you know, so they can give you insight. But at the end of the day, you, the entrepreneur, is going to be the decision maker. How are you going to spend or keep your money? So I love that. I love that you mentioned time as well. You know, a lot of people, they say, oh, I don't have enough time. You know, I wish I have more time. And they don't realize that, you know, in their calendar, they have a lot of things that they're not supposed to be doing. And I like what John Maxwell said, that, you know, you will know what a person prioritizes by looking at their calendar.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have a lot of work in your calendar, tasks and your meetings, and you don't have any space for your family and friends, even for yourself, you know, to rest, then that means maybe you're a workaholic, you know, because you love just working, which is good, but not sustainable. In the long run. So,
And with the calendar, I often call it social clutter. Now it's like it depends too where it's coming from. Sometimes we have our whole calendar full with stuff because we have like FOMO. We feel like we're missing out if we're not part everywhere, you know, and not, but then when we're looking at it, it's actually not really moving our business forward. It's more like it's coming from this FOMO thing. Oh, I need to do this too, this, do this too. And then in the end, we don't do anything properly. Or, you know, it's like, I don't know whether it was Maxwell Gladwell as well or not. But I mean, if you're jumping constantly, like they call it context switching. So if you have so many different little tiny things that you're doing because you want to be part of everything, you're not making as much progress than if you would focus on one thing for a period of time and finish that and then doing the next thing. And something that people are often surprised is unfinished things, unfinished tasks, unfinished projects. That is clutter too, especially in the business. Anything that isn't finished, you may not notice it, but unconsciously it's weighing on you because it's not finished. So if you can actually set your calendar up in a way that you're not all scattered over several things, but you finish something and then start the new thing. Like I'm multi-passionate too, so I want to do everything and anything. But if we're that's again sabotaging ourselves if we just have too many little things in our calendar instead of actually finishing this, and then I do the next thing, and then I do the next thing. We're making way more progress and finishing things, and then we have less clutter. And like I said, it's still weighing on us, all this unfinished stuff.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that because sometimes I can't even have a restful sleep at night if I know that there are a lot of things I need to do. And I won't have peace of mind if they're not in my calendar. So I need to make sure that, you know, those five things that are unfinished, I need to make sure that they're in my calendar so that I would really do it. And it's just a matter of really, you know, just like what you said, being intentional on what you want to do and being intentional in not doing what you don't want to do. And that's actually what I have been learning recently. You know, I learned that I should not force myself to do something that I don't really like doing. You know, if it gives me stress or anxiety to do something, I won't even force myself just because, you know, I fear missing out on something. You know, I stopped doing that because, you know, it's just not sustainable, you know, to be with people that don't even, you know, just forcing yourself to do something or being surrounded with people that don't even give you life, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes we have to think too, it's like, who says we have to do it? You know, it's like when you say, oh, I should do this, or I, you know, then we can often ask ourselves, who says, you know, it's like, we also went into business and become our own boss, basically, so that we're not constantly told what to do. But then we have these voices in our head. And sometimes we don't even clue in that this is just a voice, and it might not even be true. This is again where you can become intentional. You can say, okay, my brain tells me I should do this, but who says, like, whose voice is it? It's often from somewhere this voice is coming, and then you can decide for yourself, no, I that's not what I'm doing. I'm doing it different, you know? And like you said, if it gives you anxiety, then there is really no benefit for doing it, because A, you're very resistant to it. And then it uses even more energy and more time because you're so resistant. So it trips you up and how I call it, it sabotages you, know?
Yeah,
so
exactly. If it compromises your mental health already, then it's not worth doing it. So that's actually my standard now. Like I ask myself, is this something that will help me physically, emotionally, mentally, or lead me to achieve my goals? If yes, then I'll do it. If no, then no. You know, I will never ever force myself. Hey, are you sick and tired of being overwhelmed because you are doing everything alone in your business and can't scale because you don't have a team supporting you? Well, you don't have to worry anymore because Smart VAs can provide you with a team of experienced virtual assistants that can do different tasks to support your growth. From admin to bookkeeping to social media, video and podcast editing, to website, graphics, SEO, and customer service, Smart VA's team can help you grow your business without any worries or stress from all the tasks weighing down on you. If you are a busy entrepreneur who needs help with your day-to-day tasks so you can focus on growing your business, then you have to visit smartvirtualassistants.com. So in your own experience and your own perspective as well, when is the right time for somebody, you know, for a stressed and overwhelmed entrepreneur to delegate or start hiring virtual assistants?
Well, as you know, it is a little bit of a people often think like, oh, this is the solution if I can hire somebody, but there's a lot of preparation and intention goes into it. No, because otherwise you just waste your money if you just try to hand over your chaos to, it's similar. Like if you're just having a bookkeeper and you're just handing over absolute chaos, it will cost you double and triple because that person who charges most likely a higher or pretty high hourly rate or whatever he's doing will charge you for organizing. So it's and it's the same with other things. So I feel like you should hire out or delegate before you're at complete overwhelm. It's sometimes hard to catch it, especially when you're hustling and especially when you don't have it over your finances, then you may not know, do I have even the funding to hire somebody? Or you may tell yourself you don't have it because you really don't know how to look at your numbers properly. And then you wait too long and then it becomes such a chaos because you had no system in place. And then it becomes very stressful to even hand it over. So I think it's very individual when to hire somebody, but I think sooner than you think in a way, because don't wait until you're completely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you have certain rules. You don't have rules, but maybe certain insights.
I mean, principles.
Yeah, but if hiring the virtual assistant, which in the beginning uses a lot of extra energy to teach that how your thinking works or how you did things, and if you don't have these things like if you don't have processes written down, it's even harder because then you have to basically create them with the virtual assistant. If you don't have enough funding for it, it becomes very stressful too, because now you're all of a sudden obligated to pay somebody, and then you realize, oh, I forgot about this big bill and now I don't have the money. So start before you are completely in overwhelm. You need to for sure have your finances so like organized. It's sometimes hard to say what is organized finances, but you have to have a very well understanding of your finances and what bills are coming up, what you all signed up for, how the flow is, like how is the revenue flow? Do I have enough buffer to when I have a slow month to catch that and everything? So you need a good understanding of your finances and then a basic understanding of how your processes work so that you can hand it over. So then it actually is really a help and not just a complete like a complete chaos, because then you don't know what did my virtual assistant do, and maybe you do things double, you do it and she does it or he does it. So
yeah, I love what you said. You know, you start before you are stressed and overwhelmed, because when you're at that point already, your mind is everywhere and you're not at your best mental state. And yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, they think when they are at the point of overwhelmed, they think that hiring a virtual assistant will fix everything, which is not the reality really, because there's a lot of things you need to prepare as a business owner before you hire out or before you delegate. You know, just like what you mentioned, you have to make sure that you have the right systems and processes in place for your virtual assistant to use, and that is because your virtual assistant can't read your mind. You know, you can't just say, hey, I need you to help me with this, and not give any instructions. You know, and I think, I don't know, it's just sad for someone to like delegate the full responsibility of growing their business, where in reality it's not really their assistants or their virtual assistants' responsibility, you know, because we are still the business owner. We are the leader. We should be able to lead ourselves. And leading ourselves means becoming self-aware, knowing what we should do and what we should not be doing, and just being organized, just being disciplined, you know. And I feel like part of being disciplined is knowing, you know, what you need to have in your life and what you need to throw away, you know, from your life. Yeah. That can be things or maybe people, but you can't really throw them away literally. So don't do that unless you're a wrestler or something. Just kidding. But there are a lot of things you need to, you know, limit yourself from. You need to put boundaries in place. You need to avoid some things or some people, you know, like.
Well, I feel like there is a lot of potential in getting organized yourself first, like freeing up time, freeing up money and everything before you delegate, because you could try to delegate it out. But besides that, you have to, there is, and you know that better probably, how long on average the time is until everything flows and it goes smoothly with a virtual assistant. But it can actually add a lot of work on top of what you already did. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you weren't organized before you had a virtual assistant, it probably, the virtual assistant is not gonna take off so much off your plate, because you're so unintentional. You're just adding more again on your plate, and you're just as busy as you were before, but now you have also the responsibility to lead your virtual assistant, to make sure she knows and everything. So, and you have a responsibility towards your business and to use the finances in a intentional way, so you actually can grow your business and you can scale it eventually. And it just needs to be on a solid foundation. And I feel like if we have a shaky foundation and just adding virtual assistants, then the foundation gets even shakier. And
yeah, it gets heavier.
And your workload is not less because you're not intentional about what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Hey, are you looking for a community to learn how you can be effective in delegation so you can focus on the things that matter the most in your business and grow to 6 to 7 figures? If this is you, then today is your lucky day. Join our Facebook group today to get your questions answered on delegation, outsourcing, business growth, hiring members, and many more. We offer so much value in the group, so join our growing community by going to facebook.com/groups/masterdelegator. See you there. So let's say I am a stressed and overwhelmed entrepreneur right now, and I am not organized. I don't know how to declutter. What is my first step?
I would for sure look at the calendar first and make sure that we're really What are the really important things we have to do? And then from there, we're organizing the around the files, around the finances. We organized there so that, you know, it's like what often happens is somebody wants to, I call it like the pile. So I use the analogy of the papers, but it's not just physical papers, it's everything. What they're trying to do is like they have piles and piles of paper. What they're trying to do is organize these piles of papers. But you can't organize these piles of papers unless you have an organizational system. So you actually have to start with the systems first. But what you're doing as a business owner, first, I would say, is you need to go through your calendar and make sure that you're actually working on the important projects and take kind of like stock. Where am I losing a lot of time? Where can I declutter something and free up some time? And then around these projects, then you need to start thinking, okay, how do I do right now my filing system? How do I keep track of my emails? How do I find emails or how do I find files again that are related to these projects? And oftentimes there was no thought put into it. So what we want to do is we want to find how would it work best for my brain? And then start doing that and not worry about all the stuff that you have accumulated on a huge pile already. Create the system first. And then once you have that system in place, then you can start feeding the system to so that you become organized. So it's basically you need to have the system and the processes in place first before you can even organize anything. And to do that, you need to look at your calendar and see where you're losing time. So you could, for example, for a week, write down almost every 15 minutes what you're doing. It's very tedious and it's very annoying. We're not doing this over the long run, but we want to get an idea where we're losing time, because a lot of people are surprised to hear, but the average person loses over 2 hours a day in searching things.
Wow,
searching,
yeah.
Yeah, searching and not being organized and just losing time, you know? And so if you start writing down what you're doing, you will all of a sudden realize, oh, I didn't realize or social media is also, if you have no systems around social media, you all of a sudden an hour on social media, and then you complain again that you have no time or that you can't find anything because you didn't take the time to organize it. So
yeah, most of our headaches really is our fault, you know.
Yeah, although I don't want to talk about fault, it's just also something that like nobody teaches you this, you know.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
true.
We're just thrown into there, and we often are not prepared for what it means to run a business or what all comes to us. And then some people figure it out on the fly and others think they have no time. I call often getting organized, I call actually an investment. It's not also not a time expense, it's a time investment, because when you invest some time to get organized, to have these systems in place, and then you invest a little bit more time to adjust your habits so that you actually stay organized, you know, this is what I'm saying. It's like when you can get a organizer into your office or into your computer or into your mailbox, and they can organize it for you. But if your habits don't change, if they're staying the way they are, it will be a mess again within a short period of time.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to invest some time and energy to get organized. Then you need to invest some time and energy to change your habits. And changing habits is really hard for us humans. Sometimes it's so ingrained. So you have to go probably about 10 times slower than you think and not trying to do everything at once. So the other thing that I often work with my clients on, okay, which is the most important thing that you right now want to change in your processes so that the effect is that you're more organized? And then we're only working on that for a bit until that is more natural, because we can't change 10 habits at the same time, because that uses so much energy and our brain doesn't want to use that much energy. And then that's when we burn and crash. We might be very organized and very motivated for 2, 3, 4 days, and then something stressful happens with a client or whatever, and then we fall right back into our old habits. So,
yep, I love what you just said. I think, you know, it's important that we also have accountability, you know. It's like exercising. You know, if you go to the gym alone, sometimes you don't go to the gym alone because, I mean, you don't go to the gym because you know that you're not accountable to anyone. But if you tell your friend that you will meet him or her at the gym at 8 in the morning, then you'll be sort of more motivated to go to the gym because you know you have a friend that's gonna meet you there, and if you don't go, your friend might not go. So not only you're not gonna achieve your goal, but your friend might not be able to achieve his or her goal as well, because if you don't go, your friend might not go. So I think accountability, you know, just, you know, having you, Connie, as well, you know, to be accountable with when it comes to like organization and being intentional. I think it's very important, you know, because sometimes we say things that we're gonna do, especially now that the new year is coming, you know, we have new year's resolution, you know, we say I want to lose weight, I don't want to eat this, I don't want to do that, but we don't end up achieving those things because we're not accountable with anybody, right? And so
what I find is and my mentor, for example, she said something very interesting. Nobody can really hold us accountable. It's always us. So the only reason why you feel somebody else is holding you accountable is because you don't want to disappoint that person.
Yeah,
you don't
want to
let that person down. For example, with the example with the gym, you don't want to let that person down. So if you say, okay, we'll meet at 8 at the gym, you know she's there at 8. You don't want to let her down. Mm-hmm. Well, what the problem is, if we don't have somebody external, we let ourselves down so easily. You know, it's like you say, oh, I want to do this, and then you don't do it. And it has nothing to do with accountability. It has more to do that you dismiss yourself so much easier than other people, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then that is one aspect. And the other aspect is too, is like we tend to put too much on our plate, like especially if we want to change.
Yeah,
I see this so many times when people say, oh, I tried to declutter once, but it didn't work for me. Well, tell me a little bit about it, how you did it. And most of the time, they just put way too much on their plate, what they thought, in too short of a time. And also, the mental part comes to it too. It's like if they're not right away succeeding, they're beating themselves up, which also doesn't help. We have to understand our nature. Our nature is I have a podcast episode about that too. I don't know whether you ever heard of it, but it's the motivational triad. So our brain is actually wired to take the easy route.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, when we're trying to change habits or systems and processes, it's easier to fall back to the old way than it is to do the new way. And if we're putting too much change into our, like, then we're throwing up the hands in the air and say, I can't do it. So we actually really have to go slower. And this is also where it helps to have an accountability partner, because she or he helps you to not beat yourself up too much. But it also may put perspective on you're really actually asking too much of yourself, Christy. It's really not reasonable what you're asking of yourself, you know? So that's another aspect that
I love that. You. I love that perspective, you know, what you mentioned about, you know, we are so afraid of letting other people down, but we do that to ourselves all the time, right?
All the time.
But we don't
all
get afraid. Poor self. I love that. That is just that is such a very, that's an eye-opening statement, you know, like us human beings, we're so people pleasers because, you know, we don't want other people to think anything negative about us, you know, that, oh, Christy didn't show up today, she's not very committed, you know, she doesn't respect me or whatever, you know. Sometimes, you know, you meet other people because you want them to say good things to you, but sometimes, you know, sometimes if we remove those people and we, like, let's just say, you know, it's only us, we're only accountable to ourselves, you know, we don't do things because we don't realize that we're letting ourselves down. You know,
Yeah.
and I love that. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I often say too is like being organized is self-love or being decluttered is self-love, because what you're not understanding is by letting yourself down is that that you actually love other people's opinion more, that you value other people's time more, that you value. And as a business owner, especially when we're starting our own business, and especially if we're still solopreneur or maybe we have a VA, we have to be have self-integrity, because otherwise it's like I said, then we're starting to beat ourselves up. So with the calendar, for example, it's easy to sit at the beginning of the week and plan everything out, but if you're not following your own calendar, or if you're not holding yourself as accountable to yourself as you do to somebody else, nothing is going to happen. You
Right.
can't have somebody standing next to you telling you, okay, now it's 11 o'clock. You have on here that you need to record your solo podcast episode. You have to do that to yourself, you know? But oftentimes people, like for you, it wasn't a hobby, but oftentimes we really put other people's time and we respect other people's time and all energy way more than ours. And
Yeah.
without realizing this, we're constantly just saying, well, I know I should be organized, or I should lose weight, but I can't do it. But yes, you can. You're just not holding yourself to
I
the
love
same
that.
standard like other people.
I love that. Oh, wow. Connie, tell our listeners how you can help them and where can they find you online?
Yeah, so I also have a podcast. It's called From Chaos to Peace with Connie. And I always say there, like, I talk about clutter, but you will realize clutter is so much more than you think. So it starts often with mind clutter, then goes to emotional clutter, especially also as business owners. Then we have financial clutter, we have physical clutter, paper clutter, digital clutter. The website is called connygraf.com, CONNYGRAF.com. But I think, yeah, you can also write from chaos to peace, .com. It also comes to me. But I usually just say Connie Graf because it's shorter. Yeah, and I help business owners, but like you kind of asked in the beginning, I mostly my clients right now are business owners who work from home, so they don't have. I used to have more business owners who went to the office, and I helped them organize their office. Now we're working from home, which is in many ways easier than commuting to the office, and in many ways it's more difficult, because if we're already in an unorganized environment, having a business at home can just add to the chaos and to the overwhelm. So yeah, so I help you in your home too, but the focus is really business owners that work from home. And I don't know whether you have noticed that too, but if we're business owners and there is something on our calendar that we should do and it kind of makes us a little anxious, we'd rather go and fold laundry, or we'd rather go and do the dishes or whatever, you know? So there is an additional distraction category when we work from home. So
Exactly. My
help.
dog is a very distracting pet, but I love him. Sometimes I distract myself too. Sometimes my mind is just wandering around, distracting me from doing something. But
Yeah.
so thank you for being there with for us, Connie, just teaching entrepreneurs how they can live their life free of chaos and full of peace. So thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me, Christy. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. If you like this episode, please share this with your entrepreneur or business owner friends on social media so they can have freedom and flexibility while running a successful business as well. Please also subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback will inspire me to continue creating content like this and help me improve this podcast show for you. Thank you so much again for listening, and I'll see you again on the next episode.